Well, that was a fascinating discussion with Carol Serling and Mark Zakri. Mark's going to stick around this hour. We're going to talk about some sci-fi related episodes and tell you a couple of events that Mark is working on as well. So get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Mark Zakri with us. We're going to talk about some sci-fi related topics. Mark, you've got two events coming up. Tell me a little bit about them.
You bet, George. And also, there's another thing that I've set up for Coast to Coast listeners as well. Here's the, and all of this stuff, you can log on to Zakri.com, and all the information's there as well. The two events coming up. On December 10th, I'm having a screening in L.A. of a documentary about the roundtable that I run. I run a roundtable of writers and directors and actors and producers. It's over 1,000 members. And a filmmaker, Anna Barreto, who actually produced the Twilight Zone DVDs, she followed us around for a year, and we're having a special advanced screening at the Ricardo Montalban Theater in Hollywood on Vine Street. And I've actually set aside some tickets for Coast to Coast members. This is a free tickets.
Good for you.
And so if they just go on to Zakri.com, they can reserve their space for this screening. It's December 10th, next Friday at 7 p.m. And then also 2 days later, on the 12th, I'm having a signing of the Twilight Zone Companion at Mystery and Imagination Bookstore in Glendale, and we're going to have George Clayton Johnson and Earl Hamner, two of the writers from Twilight Zone, Dennis Etchison, who wrote the radio shows, the Twilight Zone radio shows, Arlene Martell, who was in two great Twilight Zone episodes. She's the one who said, "Room for one more, honey," in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And director Robert Butler, who directed the George Takei episode of Twilight Zone, as well as the first pilot of Star Trek. It's going to be an amazing, amazing event, and we're going to have a panel. We're going to all be talking about Twilight Zone. So that's 2 p.m. December 12th at Mystery and Imagination Books. Again, it's listed on my website. And then the final thing I've done for Coast to Coast listeners is we were talking about television a few minutes ago with Carol, and as writers in television, we have to write new sample scripts periodically as writing samples. Mm-hmm. And so I just wrote a Mad Men spec, a spec episode of Mad Men with Rod Serling as a character in it. And if the Coast to Coast listeners want to read that script, it's now up online on Zakri.com, and it's doing very well. I'm actually being considered now as a writer for one of the biggest hits on TV right now, thanks to that script. So it's very exciting.
Good for you, Mark. Well, you know what? You have been in the trenches. You've been out of the trenches, and you do a great job.
Thank you, George.
So I want you to hit your home run in life. Sci-fi seems to be on still everybody's mind. I mean, you can't go anywhere, Mark, whether it's the movies, books, TV. People are obsessed with sci-fi and scary-related shows. How come?
It's true. Well, I think, you know, there's something wonderfully imaginative. It's, in a way, you start to think of what if. You know, you think, well, what if I were on an alien planet? Avatar is such an appealing fantasy. Or if I turn a corner and suddenly I'm encountering some, you know, a ghost or some other strange creature. There's just something incredibly beguiling about it. I think all of us want the extraordinary to enter into our lives, and I think science fiction and fantasy really continue to feed that hunger for all of us for escape and surprise and for wonder, and you know, so I think I'm very pleased to see that the genre is flourishing the way it is.
Do you see the internet as a huge vehicle for movies and TV exclusively, or do you still think the four major networks now and all the cable networks are still going to flourish?
I think it's all merging. You know, I think it's all becoming about delivery portals. It's funny. I had breakfast this morning with a young man that I'm mentoring, and he just had this huge hit on the internet, and now Sony is developing it as a TV series, and you know, I'm also doing a book with Guillermo del Toro, the director.
Great director.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal man, and we started working on this book, and it's just sitting with him. Again, when we talk about Rod Serling or Ray Bradbury, there's certain people who are just visionaries, and Guillermo is definitely one of those. And, you know, and again, we talk about film and TV and books, now what's going on in the internet, and it's all, you know, basically it's all an outlet for us to create new and wonderful stories. So I don't find any of this stuff threatening. I'm just excited by it.
Rod was successful during his era, but how far ahead of his time was he?
Amazingly ahead of his time. You know, it's funny because, you know, you watch something like Eye of the Beholder, the Twilight Zone episode with a woman's head wrapped in bandages, and she's supposedly horribly ugly, and she's just talking about if only they would let her just be with other people, if only, you know, she could be viewed as normal. And you know, and this was years before we dealt with handicapped rights, things like that. And yet here's Rod speaking for the underdog, those who are invisible or those who are dismissed by society. You know, earlier when you were asking Carol about what was an event that Rod felt very strongly about, you know, any event where someone was being treated badly, where the little guy was being plowed under, he had enormous sympathy for the common people. And if one, I think one of the huge events in Rod's life that changed him was there was an African American teenager named Emmett Till who was murdered in the 50s, and Rod tried twice to write TV stories based on that. He was heavily censored, and that was one of the things that moved him toward creating Twilight Zone. So issues of race, issues of politics, issues of society were meant a lot to him and to all of us who are writers working in the field.
He seemed to hate people who were greed, warmongers,
yes,
and those messages constantly leak through in the Twilight Zone episodes.
Yes, very much so. Well, you know, Rod, Carol mentioned that Rod was in World War II, and you know, he signed up for the paratroops right out of high school. And so here's this 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid jumping out of airplanes into jungles, you know, with the Japanese trying to kill him. And that really changed him deeply, profoundly. It altered him and made him, I think, a deeper and more compassionate person. And so when he wrote about war, he really understood it. There's a terrific episode of Twilight Zone called The Purple Testament, in which someone, a soldier, can look at his fellow soldiers and see who's going to die, see the look on their face. And that, I think that's one of the best things ever written about warfare. You just feel what it was like to be in the jungles fighting in World War II. That's definitely written by an insider.
I think television is still immensely influential on people. Why are programs like Dexter on Showtime so hot right now? And he's the serial killer pathologist.
Yeah, I think
the blood pathologist.
Yeah, I think it's that people, the great thing about television and film and books too, they allow you to go into lives and into worlds that you wouldn't be able to enter in your real life. And whether it's the life of a serial killer or the life of, you know, for instance, in Breaking Bad, it's methamphetamine, you know, dealers and so forth. The motorcycle gang. You know, these are things where in real life you might hesitate to, you know, to associate with those people. But in television, you can do so safely and get a larger view of the world and a larger view of the kinds of people that exist in the world, good or bad. And I think that's also the appeal of Mad Men, the fact that you can see what it was like in a different time, in a very different society that seems both close to our own and yet now increasingly far away. So, and I must say that writing the Mad Men script with Rod as a character was just great, great fun.
When the economy took a tailspin, coming to inch back up a little bit now, how did that affect Hollywood, Mark?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was definitely harder to get financing for features and so forth. There was sort of a ripple effect, and certainly the studios are very conscious of money, and so more and more, if you watch films, you'll see that they're being financed by a lot of different groups. So it isn't just Paramount making a movie; they'll team with a financing group or whatever. And it's interesting because I'm going to be directing a feature shortly. I'm writing it now. I've affiliated with a producer. It's a big science fiction movie, and we're not even going to the studios. We're just going directly to the funding sources to raise the money. And this producer has a great track record with that. But again, you more and more you see the studios as distribution arms, but not the ones who are going to go out on a limb and finance movies from the get-go. You find alternatives.
And do you still think money's attainable for a lot of these projects?
Yeah. The great part is that now, thanks to technology, you know, you can get a Final Cut on a Mac, which is an editing program. You can pick up an HD camera at Best Buy, and you're good to go. And so a lot of my friends, you know, I run this roundtable for writers and directors and producers and actors, and I also mentor people. I teach classes and so forth. And what I urge people to do is just, you know, start shooting stuff, pick up a camera, make stuff. You know, learn. There's a program called After Effects, which is a special effects program. There's Photoshop. I mean, there's a whole bag of tricks that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago were impossible. You needed millions of dollars to make movies back then. Now, if you just have, you know, a group of friends and determination and, you know, a few thousand, you can make it happen. And I'm very proactive.
With pretty good quality, too, right?
Yes. Exactly, yes. Well, you know, it's fascinating because, you know, I'm dealing now in my daily life with people who are making films for a few thousand, and I'm dealing with Guillermo del Toro, who's making films for hundreds of millions of dollars. And but when you meet these people, there's really no line of demarcation anymore. It's basically that same creative passion. You can see it in young kids coming out of film school or in people like J.J. Abrams or Guillermo del Toro, and certainly Rod had that too. You know, none of us are doing it. I mean, it's very nice to be paid well. We all love to earn a lot of money, but that's not why we do it at all. And nor was it why Rod did it. Rod certainly made a fortune with his writing, and justifiably so. But if you had said to Rod, you know, okay, from now on, you know, the money tap is turned off, would he have kept writing? Of course he would have, because that's why he did it. He did it for the love of it.
Paranormal Activity came out, $15,000 to make. Marketing, of course, way over that. But who would have thought that thing would have made the kind of money it made, Mark?
Yeah, and it all comes from having imagination and having a way of telling a story that works with the constraints of the budget and how you do it. But I think the audience, you know, when an audience goes to a movie, they don't really care what the movie costs to make. What they care about is, does it entertain them? And that can be done for a low budget or a high budget. We all see, endlessly, we're seeing high budget movies that don't entertain us, and they tank, and they should, because they don't have creativity, they don't have imagination, they're not telling a good story. And so I think it's great, that great leveler of, you know, quality can be done on a big budget or a low budget. And I love that. I think that's wonderful.
What happens to an executive at a movie studio who comes out with a high-budget movie that tanks? Does he or she lose their job?
Sometimes they do, yes. And which is, again, why so many times now they're playing it safe by adapting like a big comic book project or something that was really successful in books like Harry Potter. You know, that's how the executives keep their job, because then if the movie fails, they can say, well, yeah, but it was based on a bestseller. It was based on this, you know, comic, you know, and that's why you see things. They're so, you know, such a regurgitation of material now in Hollywood. And that's why you have to go to the independent forums to find, you know, new, fresh product.
They don't take risk like they used to, do they?
No. But you can still find people who are going to go out on a limb, and I think that's great. Now that's why I encourage that so much. It was very fun when we did this documentary about the table that I run. It focuses on several of our table members, and we follow them for a year, and we see how they succeeded. And one of our table members is a quadriplegic, and his name is Jim Troesch, and he's a writer and a director and an actor and a producer. And under our tutelage, he made a pilot. And Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad is in the pilot with him. And it's just so phenomenal to see that anyone now, if given the right encouragement, can really really do some amazing things.
Somebody listening to you from Wichita, or Albuquerque, New Mexico, or who knows where.
Yes.
They want to move to L.A. They want a career in film or television, whether they're in front of the camera or behind. What do you suggest?
Well, you know, I think it's funny because we teach a class now, my wife and I, where we actually teach people all around the world where they can call us, and week by week we guide them. And there's all the information on that on our website on zikri.com. What I basically urge people to do is, if you want a career in television, you do have to move to L.A. in series television, because writing staffs, it's a group of writers in a room banging out stories, and that really requires being here in Los Angeles. But if you want to make movies, again, you can be in Austin, Texas. You can be, you know, in Portland, Oregon. You can basically be anywhere in the world. And again, you just pick up a camera, you buy a Mac or any computer where you can do editing, and you just, you know, you basically, blossom where you're planted, you know, and just create work that's individual to you and that speaks your truth. The one error people make is they think that they have to just imitate what's successful, and nothing is farther from the truth. What you have to do is find your voice and what you care about and make something that entertains you. When I wrote The Twilight Zone Companion, I wrote that book because I wanted to learn how to make television. But I also understood from Rod's example that you write the stories that you're burning to tell. You find your truth and you tell that, and that's what succeeds. And that's what we really encourage people to do.
Why do people like to get scared, Mark?
I think people love to be scared because if you're scared watching a movie or riding a roller coaster, it's safe. You know, it's safe, and that allows you to experience something fearful. Where you won't die.
But governments have also learned, if you scare the people, you can control them.
Yes, and that's the negative side of it, of course. And I think that's why it's really, as citizens in a free nation, we have to really be careful of that. And when when we get triggered by those kind of messages, we have to really look at that very closely and be courageous and say, okay, I'm not going to be ruled by my fear. I'm going to be ruled by my compassion. And, you know, throughout my daily life, I always say to myself, okay, what's the compassionate choice? And I try and act upon that.
If you were given a little crystal ball and you could look into the future, what would you see in the next 5-10 years for television, for films?
Wow.
What's out there?
Well, I think definitely, you know, as I said earlier, the internet and television are going to merge. So basically, it's already starting where, you know, you have TV shows on Hulu and on Netflix and so forth. I watch a lot of my movies now on TV where it's just downloaded off Netflix. You know, I'm not renting DVDs as much anymore.
Straight to your TV.
Boom. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so it's going to be a much more fluid portal where, you know, and it's a lot quicker now. So in other words, you can make something. For instance, my wife just did a web series that she's editing now. She wrote and directed it. You know, the editor comes over. He puts the dailies up on our TV, on our big screen TV. He showed us a music video that he just directed where he just, you know, grabbed a camera, took the singer out. They got a few little props and they shot it. And then a day later, he's edited it. And instantaneously, it's up on the internet, on YouTube and so forth. So I think that the boundaries between the creators of content and the audience will really blur also. And I think a lot more now people are creating their own content. And I think that's exciting. In fact, there was a young man that I just talked to recently where he's setting up this website where it'll be a science fiction story taking place in a small town where people all over the world can choose a role and act. They can use their little home, their cameras on their computers or little video cameras they've got and post videos of themselves as characters in this town as this strange science fictional thing happens. So it'll be people all over the world playing characters in this town that'll be joined on the internet. It's a fascinating idea. And he just interviewed me to talk about how people could sort of become actors on this project. And I support things that change the medium and change how things are done because I think that's all very, very exciting.
We're going to do a YouTube of the paranormal sometime next year, and you might want to get involved with us on that.
Sure, of course, happy to. That'd be great.
Give everybody an opportunity to show their goods before a huge audience.
Yes, and I think that's wonderful. And because, again, you know, one thing is, you know, I'm not a snob about any of this stuff. I think anyone who has ability, anyone who has something to say, anywhere they are, I welcome that. It's funny, you know, when you meet people like J.J. Abrams or Spielberg or Guillermo or any of these people who are the top of the field, they're like kids. They have enormous enthusiasm, and they're not snobs. They're very friendly. They're very warm. They're very genuine. They're authentic. You know, there's a creepy Hollywood that we all hate and loathe, and that's real, you know. But you don't have to be part of that. There's another Hollywood where you can be, you know.
Just, a real person.
Well, yeah, and coming from creativity, certainly you do that, George. Certainly I do. And I surround myself with those people. And there's a great democracy to that and a great creativity, and I love encouraging that.
Well, absolutely. Mark, give us your website. Spell it for us.
Sure. It's my last name, which is Z as in zebra, I, C as in Charles, R-E-E, Zikri.com.
And again, you are providing 50 free tickets to
That's
people
right.
in the greater L.A. area. They can come from anywhere if they want.
That's right.
To go to your event, which is Friday, December 10th, and that will be where again?
It'll be at the Ricardo Montalban Theater. It'll be 7 p.m. That's in Hollywood, 1615 Vine Street, Los Angeles, 90028. And again, the Coast to Coast listeners can just go on to Zikri.com and click through and reserve their tickets. And there's also information about the Twilight Zone Companion signing at Mystery and Imagination Books on December 12th. Because I don't often do signings of the Companion, but this is a great bookstore, an independent bookstore, and I really want to support them. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And it'll be so much fun having George Clayton Johnson there and Earl Hamner. Earl Hamner created the Waltons as well as writing 8 episodes of Twilight Zone.
Hey, John Boy.
Yeah, and Arlene Martell played Spock. Arlene Martell, who was in 2 great episodes of Twilight Zone, she also played Spock's fiancée in the original Star Trek, so she'll be signing photos.
Super.
It's going to be a great event.
All right, stick around for some phone calls. Final half hour with Mark Zikri. We'll take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we begin open lines here on Coast to Coast AM, but when we come back, let's take some phone calls with Mark Zikri as we talk about scary sci-fi on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Mark Zikri. We're going to take your phone calls as well. Mark, what do you enjoy writing the most? What's fun for you?
It's, you know, in some ways it's all fun, George. I mean, I love writing for television. I love the speed of that, the immediacy of that. But right now I'm working on this screenplay called Fugitive Space that I'm going to be directing. It's a big science fiction action film, and my producer is a great guy, and it's fun working with him, and we're meeting with the production designers and talking to actors and all of that stuff, and it's just the flow of it, where it goes from one idea to another. And on any given day, I'm always engaged in things that interest me.
Good for you. Let's go to Andre, first-time caller in La Mesa, California. Hey, Andre, go ahead.
Oh, hey, thanks. Wow, first-time caller. I just got to say, I love listening to your show. I'm 20 years young, and
I love everything
sci-fi. My question is for Mark.
Great.
okay, so it's great to hear that you have so much enthusiasm for the projects you're working on, and I'm looking to checking them out. Is there a dream project you have in mind, like regarding a comic book character or a novel that you're, well, of course, you want to work with?
Yeah, well, it's funny that my dream project is there's a pilot that my wife and I wrote some years ago called Magic Time, where all the machines in the world stop running and magic comes back. And I then wrote that as a trilogy of novels for HarperCollins. It hit the bestseller list, and we did audiobooks. And I just finished a radio play based on that project, and now we're coming back to television with it. And that's my big dream project. It's this big, big, big fantasy project, and I'm just going to keep working on it until we get it on television. So it's that's the one that really is, I think, closest to my heart of everything.
That sounds great. I mean, I pretty much watch everything sci-fi, Fringe, Doctor Who. Everything's great. I don't see why most people don't get into these shows, you know?
Well, I think more and more people do. It's funny, when I was a kid, you know, science fiction was much more of a fringe thing, and then of course Twilight Zone and Star Trek and Outer Limits started to popularize it. And now you do have millions and millions of people around the world watching those shows, you know, Fringe and Doctor Who, and again Avatar, of course, made an enormous amount of money, billions of dollars. And so I think more and more people are getting it. I think, and it's great to be part of that. And then, you know, I just recently bought the Blu-ray of Avatar, and when you see the technology of how they made that film, it's just phenomenal. It's a reinvention of how movies are made, and I find all of that stuff very exciting. I love meeting with special effects guys and concept designers. There's an artist named Ron Cobb who worked on Aliens and a lot of great films, and he's an old friend. We're reaching out to him for Fugitive Space, for the science fiction movie I'm going to be directing. So I just love the genre as well. Science fiction is great fun.
Mark, we had James Cameron on a few months ago.
Wow.
What a genius. What a genius.
That's great.
He's working on 2 and 3. He's tough, though.
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
He is, but you know, Guillermo is prepping a movie called At the Mountains of Madness that based on an H.P. Lovecraft story, and James Cameron's going to be producing it, and it's this story about an expedition to the South Pole in the 1930s, and they discover an ancient dead city from the race that lived here before humanity.
Oh, I love it.
Amazing film, and very, very exciting. Guillermo was showing me some of the pre-production artwork, and it's just staggering.
Hey, get him on the show, all right?
Absolutely. I think we can make that happen.
Yeah, that is a great subject, too. You know, we've had Michael Cremo on the program, who's written several books, including Forbidden Archaeology.
Wow.
With his theories that mankind is hundreds of millions of years old.
Wow.
And who knows? Who knows what was on this planet then?
I know. It's amazing.
Let's go to Bob, truck driving in North Carolina. You're up with Mark Sicre. Hey, Bob.
Hey, George. How you doing?
It's okay. Rob. Okay, go ahead.
Mark, this is a great show. Last time I was on, you had Eric Von Doniken on, George. That was like it was just awesome.
Super guy,
He was, as I said, he was instrumental in starting me on this crazy, my crazy world of the paranormal and everything. Started with Eric Von Doniken, except, I don't know, it was right around the same time that I read Church of God. It might have actually preceded it and caused me to read the book. Was a show that was narrated by Rod Serling called In Search of Ancient Astronauts.
Yes.
It was on Spring.
I remember that.
It blew my mind, and it may have actually caused me to go get the book Chariots of the Gods. I can't remember the chronology there, but anyway, 38 years ago. So my question to you is, that was done by Alan Landsberg, and they did Search of Ancient Mysteries, and they also made a movie called The Outer Space Connection, where he narrated all of those.
That's right, yeah. He was friends with Alan Landsberg, and he really enjoyed narrating those specials. Yeah, it was what Rod was, you know, it's interesting. Rod Serling was a great narrator of documentaries back in the 1970s, and those ancient astronaut specials, you know, were very, very entertaining. I think probably you could track them down online, you know, if you want to see them again nowadays. And I think they're still available on home video, but they've certainly popularized the whole notion of Eric von Däniken and the possibility of aliens on Earth in ancient times.
Do you think Rod was a believer in extraterrestrial life, Mark?
He definitely believed that there was life on other planets. In terms of UFOs, things like that, he was a skeptic, but certainly would have, you know, he was open-minded, and you know, but he certainly was fascinated by science, and certainly very, very interested in all of those things. And you know, it's funny because in addition to Twilight Zone, he of course co-wrote Planet of the Apes, and you know, that whole thing of the Statue of Liberty at the end coming out of the sand—that was Rod came up with that idea. So the whole notion of space travel and of course time travel, he was fascinated by that. So all of those things were of great interest to him.
Let's go to Simone in Sterling, Illinois. Hi, Simone.
Thank you. I would like to tell Mark that I'm a real Mad Men fan. I'm just mad for Mad Men. And I'm so glad that Mark's ideas may appear in Mad Men. And I was startled to see mention of UFOs come up in Mad Men. Also, Donald Draper as Dick Whitman, his girlfriend Anna, when she died, she appeared as a ghost in his office. That was amazing, too, all these paranormal themes in Mad Men.
Well, it's funny because with Matt Weiner, who created Mad Men, when I was brought aboard to do the Twilight Zone Blu-ray disc and do new commentaries, I thought of the idea of reaching out to people who would be fans of the Twilight Zone who are doing cutting-edge things now. So I actually reached out to Matt Weiner, and he and I have done commentaries on two of the Twilight Zone episodes for the Blu-ray, and that's going to be coming out shortly. And to sit down with him and talk about the 60s and talk about Serling and as we're watching a couple of Twilight Zone episodes was just a wonderful experience. And yeah, Mad Men is highly influenced by Twilight Zone. There's a very strong influence, and certainly UFOs and ghosts and all of that stuff. Matt Weiner certainly is fascinated by all those areas.
Okay, next up we go to Perry in Lompoc, California. Hey, Perry, thanks for calling.
Hi, guys, and thank you for these 2 hours. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate naturally your show, George, and Mark Zakrie. I wanted to tell you this because some people might say, I really appreciate your compassion.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And I'll ask the next question first, but I'll change it around. You know, you're friends with James Colley, who produces Star Trek Phase 2.
Yes.
What is the status of them? He hasn't released a new episode in quite a while.
Well, yeah. Just to bring everyone up to speed, James and I worked on the Star Trek episode with George Takei that we did a couple of years ago, World Enough in Time, that was nominated for Hugo and the Nebula. And James Colley makes new Star Trek episodes that he puts online under the name Star Trek Phase 2. Previously, it was Star Trek New Voyages. And the difficulty is because they're sort of self-funded. In post-production, to get the effects done takes a lot of time because, you know, when you're looking at TV shows the studios are doing, they've got millions of dollars, and so they can do them very quickly, like Battlestar Galactica and so forth. But I think for people out there doing them on a wing and a prayer, it's very time-consuming to get them done. So I know that James has a number of episodes that he's shot, but they're just slowly but surely getting finished, and we'll get out there to the public soon. In fact, they just screened a couple of them at a convention with sort of temp effects put in, and so they're definitely continuing that process. And again, I think anyone who's out there on the internet making web series or shooting, you know, shorts or making their own content, I applaud that because I think you can get a lot of new blood that way and a lot of fresh visions, and I think that's just terrific. I love the new media and the new possibilities.
Mark, what do you think of this craze for these reality shows compared to, of course, what you've done and other people have done, and that's, you know, budgeted, scripted programs?
Yeah, well, you know, reality is sort of like what wrestling was back in the 50s. It's very, very contrived, and it's very kind of lowest common denominator. And, you know, I every now and then I'll be channel surfing and I'll catch a few minutes of reality, but the reality shows, and they don't really engage me. There are some that are sort of have a positive message. There's one about a woman who's losing a lot of weight and she's getting her life back, and Ruby, I think it's called. And I like that show. I don't watch it regularly, but again, it's sort of, it gives people hope. And anything that gives people hope or gives them more possibility, I applaud. but shows the trait on the lowest common denominator and the worst behavior of people and the pettiness and jealousy and greed. And, you know, I don't think that's healthy, and I don't think it's good to watch those things. And, you know, it'd be better for people to just go out and, you know, take a square dancing class or something and, you know, be with other people and, you know, have positive relationships. So I'm a little leery of those kind of things.
Let's go to Joe in West Haven, Connecticut. There you go on the wild card line. Hey, Joe, welcome.
Hey, George, how you doing? George, I'm a big fan of your show. I listen to it every night.
Thank you, Joe.
See on Ancient Aliens.
Aliens?
On History Show, yep. I'm really a big fan of yours, George. Mark, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Land of the Giants. Is anything about it's going to be a movie or a new TV show, anything?
Well, certainly the Irwin Allen created that show along with Lost in Space and Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and then he did things like Poseidon Adventure and so forth. And, you know, they keep trying to revive those old TV properties, primarily as movies. And, you know, so every now and then you'll hear something about that. And certainly with the technology now, the special effects they could do a bang-up job with Land of the Giants. There are other shows I know that they're bringing back. Wild Wild West is being developed by Ron Moore, who recently did Battlestar Galactica. And Guillermo del Toro is teaming with David Icke to do a new TV version of The Hulk. So these things keep cropping up, and all it takes is someone with a new vision or a new idea to bring it alive. And some of those shows will come back, or those movies will be made, and they'll, you know, be lousy, and some will be good. You really have to have something. It boils down to what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, you have to have something to say. And I think what made Battlestar Galactica work in the new incarnation was that Ron Moore had something to say that made it a better show than the original. But that's very, very rare. And a lot of times these things are redone and they're just kind of tired retreads and they don't spark an audience's enthusiasm. I grew up watching Land of the Giants, and certainly if someone was going to do something like that of quality, I'd pay my, $10 or $15 to see it.
Mark, are they running out of fresh ideas? I mean, you listen to music, for example, and if you've listened to music since the 50s, even through to where we are today, one of the questions you got to ask yourself is, how do they keep coming up with these new songs?
Yes.
you only think there's a certain amount of combinations of music, but they always do.
Yeah.
I guess is the same with television and films. Even though they duplicate, they still come up with some creative things.
Yeah. Well, and again, that comes back to really getting clear on what you love and pursuing that. You know, it's and sometimes, you know, you'll have an idea and you'll say, oh, wow, where did that come from? That's so interesting. And it was just the other day I was talking to my producer on Fugitive Space, this new feature I'm going to do, and we were talking about the Twilight Zone, and, you know, I realized that no one has done a documentary on the Twilight Zone. They've done documentaries about Rod Serling, and I've been on all of those documentaries, but a Twilight Zone documentary, and so now we're starting to talk about doing a Twilight Zone documentary, and it would be about how Rod came up with Twilight Zone, but also it would deal a little bit about the Twilight Zone Companion and the influence that the book has had, because so many people read it as teenagers and decided they would become writer-producers in TV. That was true of J.J. Abrams and a number of people who are now running television series, so it would track that. So we're starting to talk about doing that documentary, and that'll be great fun.
First-time caller, Dustin in L.A. There you go, L.A. to L.A. Go ahead, Dustin.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I'm one of the editors on the Ancient Aliens series.
Cool.
Currently on History Challenge. And I must say, you look very good.
You guys have done a great job on that program. You really
thank
have.
Thank you. I was just driving home, actually, working on one of the shows that's going to air probably around Christmas. And my dad was actually on Twilight Zone many years ago. When they ran the marathon, I was actually able to see it on Thanksgiving. And he was one of the, he had the ability to move things with his mind.
Wow, the prime mover.
Yeah.
Yeah,
his name is Buddy Ebsen.
Of course. Well,
yes.
Holy cow, that's, he's a giant. I mean, my God,
that's
Beverly
great.
Hillbillies, he's one of my favorites. And the prime mover is a terrific Twilight Zone episode. And he's very charming in it. He has a great job in it.
Tell me, what is the event you're having in Hollywood?
We're having a screening of a documentary that was made about a roundtable that I run of writers and directors and actors and producers. We have 1,000 members, so on December 10th, we're going to have a screening. It's an advanced screening of the documentary, so we'll actually be taking comments and refining. We're still tweaking the documentary, and that's December 10th. And people can go on to Zikri.com and actually get we set aside tickets, free tickets for Coast to Coast listeners. And then on December 12th, we're going to have a signing of the Twilight Zone Companion. And so, you know, if you're around town, definitely stop in. And you know, because
I'd love to. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that whole period, there's never been any kind of documentary done about Rod Serling or that time. And
no. Uh-uh.
I know Dan Aykroyd does a really, really excellent Rod Serling.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does. And it's Rod. Well, I think some people, part of their fame is that everyone can imitate them. You know, whether it's Jimmy Cagney or Bogart or Serling. You know, they're so distinctive. One thing I should mention, by the way, is on the Twilight Zone Companion signing, we're going to have George Clayton Johnson, and he's the writer who came up with the story for Prime Movers. So your dad was well served by George's imagination. So it's going to be fun seeing George Clayton Johnson at that signing.
Yeah, wonderful. All right, well, I'll let you go. Great show. I always listen to you, George, whoever else is hosting, and a big fan.
Thank you so much. Your dad was a giant, Dustin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. You got it. He was a show all by himself, Mark, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He just... I love the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, and of course, some people don't know that Buddy Upson was originally cast in Wizard of Oz as the Tin Man, and then he had an allergic reaction to the aluminum in the makeup, and he was replaced. But if you look at the documentary on the making of Wizard of Oz, you can actually see photographs of him in that role.
And was he also, because I think when I was a kid, one of my first exposures to him, he was the sidekick of Davy Crockett, wasn't he, in the movie?
Right. Yes, and before that, he was a dancer. He's in Shirley Temple movies, singing and dancing. So he was incredibly talented.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Cerritos, California, and let's go to Charlene. There you go. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a quick question for Mark Zikri. I'm a trip guider, and I have tried twice to go through the agency route to get representation,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't had any luck. And I had thought about using entertainment lawyers like you had suggested last time, but I was told that it's actually illegal for entertainment lawyers to shop scripts to the studios. So I was like, okay. So what other options can you suggest for me to get my scripts to the studio?
Absolutely. It's not illegal. Lawyers actually can submit scripts. Many production companies, if you say, can I have this sent via my lawyer, many of them will say, that's fine, yes. Another way to go is managers. There are a number of managers. They might be a little more accessible. Generally, I encourage people to call these different companies rather than just send emails or send letters, because somehow if you can make a personal contact with someone, it puts them on a different footing. But there are books that list all the different agencies, all the different managers. If you just read Variety or the Hollywood Reporter and see which first-time screenwriters are making big sales, make a note of which managers or which agents those are, because those are agents and managers who are kind of already predisposed to working with first-timers. And so that's a good way to start it. Or if you have a friend who's really good on the telephone, have them take out a business license and become a manager. That's perfectly fine. And then have them start, you know, making some phone calls, because it just takes a lot of moxie and salesmanship to break down that wall.
Mark Zikri's got a couple events. Go to his website, Zikri, ZICREE.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Mark, thank you so much. I'll be back in a moment with 2 hours of open lines, a special hotline, and I think I'm going to try to give away some books, so get ready.